terrors he so perseveringly braved. Instead of this, he was one of the most mild and unboastful of men, feminine as a woman in his tastes and deportment, never uttering a coarse word, never allowing himself in a rude action. He was truly one of nature's gentle men. With all of this instinctive refinement and delicacy, there was a boldness of character which seemed absolutely incapable of experiencing the emotion of fear. And surely, all the records of chivalry may be searched in vain for a career more full of peril and of wild adventure. This narrative reveals a state of society and habitudes of life now rapidly passing into oblivion. It is very desirable that the record should be perpetuated, that we may know the scenes through which our fathers passed in laying the foundations of this majestic republic. It is probable that as the years roll on, the events which occurred in the infancy of our nation will be read with ever-increasing interest. It is the intention of the publisher of this volume to issue a series of sketches of the prominent men in the early history of our country. The next volume will contain the life and adventures of the renowned Miles Standish, the Puritan captain. John S. C. Abbott, Fairhaven, Connecticut. Chapter 1. The Discovery and Early Settlement of America. The little fleet of three small vessels with which Columbus left Palos in Spain in search of a new world had been 67 days at sea. They had traversed nearly 3,000 miles of ocean, and yet there was nothing but a wide expanse of waters spread out before them. The despairing crew were loud in their murmurs, demanding that the expedition should be abandoned and that the ships should return to Spain. The morning of the 11th of October, 1492, had come. During the day, Columbus, whose heart had been very heavily oppressed with anxiety, had been cheered by some indications that they were approaching land. Fresh seaweed was occasionally seen, and a branch of a shrub with leaves and berries upon it, and a piece of wood curiously carved had been picked up. The devout commander was so animated by these indications that he gathered his crew around him and returned heartfelt thanks to God for this prospect that their voyage would prove successful. It was a beautiful night. The moon shone brilliantly, and a delicious tropical breeze swept the ocean. At 10 o'clock, Columbus stood upon the bows of his ship, earnestly gazing upon the western horizon, hoping that the long-looked-for land would rise before him. Suddenly, he was startled by the distinct gleam of a torch far off in the distance. For a moment, it beamed forth with a clear and indisputable flame, and then disappeared. The agitation of Columbus no words can describe. Was it a meteor? Was it an optical illusion? Was it light from the land? Suddenly, the torch, like a star, again shone forth with a distinct, though faint, gleam. Columbus called some of his companions to his side, and they also saw the light clearly, but again it disappeared. At 2 o'clock in the morning, a sailor at the lookout on the masthead shouted, "Land! Land! Land!" In a few moments, all beheld, but a few miles distance from them, the distinct outline of towering mountains piercing the skies. A new world was discovered. Cautiously, the vessels hove to and waited for the light of the morning. The dawn of the day presented to the eyes of Columbus and his companions a spectacle of beauty which the Garden of Eden could hardly have rivaled. It was a morning of the tropics, calm, serene, and lovely. But 2 miles before them, there emerged from the sea an island of mountains and valleys, luxuriant with every variety of tropical vegetation. The voyagers, weary of gazing for many weeks on the wide waste of waters, were so enchanted with the fairy scene which then met the eye that they seemed to really believe that they had reached the realms of the blessed. The boats were lowered, and as they were rowed towards the shore, the scene every moment grew more beautiful. Gigantic trees draped in luxuriance of foliage hitherto unimagined rose in the soft valleys and upon the towering hills. In the sheltered groves, screened from the sun, the picturesque dwellings of the natives were thickly clad.